I always love to confuse you, Chris. I always love to throw out a good term
It's
and
a teen life tradition, like
see what
unlike any
happens.
other. Yes.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and with me, as always, is Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
Chris.
Yes.
I just need you to know, I'm so thankful to do this podcast with you.
Oh, me too. Thank you, Carly. Makes
yeah,
me feel good.
Of course. I'm really excited to talk through some teen terms today.
Oh, yeah. So is our audience.
Yes, it's always one of my favorite episodes. But first, let's talk about gratitude.
I suggested this topic a while back, just based upon stuff I was reading and podcasts I've been listening to. And I think especially with some of the mental health issues that we are seeing and hearing about coming out of the pandemic, you have to ask yourself, you know, what are some really practical ways to kind of break that circuit, you know, and to feel better. And everything keeps coming back to this idea of gratitude, of making being grateful more than just about Thanksgiving or just, you know, but being a part of the rhythm of your life, that you know that you are able to on the regular point out and acknowledge the things that you are grateful for, really changes the game.
Right. So if you look up the definition of gratitude, it can probably mean a lot of things, but it's thankful appreciation for what you receive, but it's also acknowledging just goodness in your life. So the things around you that are going well, that's gratitude. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be thanking a person like I did for Chris. It could just be thinking of, man, I'm really grateful for what's happening right now.
And the thing about gratitude, and not to get too philosophical, I guess, but
be philosophical, Chris.
Well,
I love it.
It's more. I guess it's just more. It's the antidote for everything else we see and hear and consume in our lives. Is if you get on social media, you watch the news, it's all we're all going to die, and everything's horrible all the time. And you know, we are more hateful. We are more divided. I mean, that's a narrative you see. You know, we're more divided. Everything is going wrong. And if you don't cultivate a practice of gratitude in your life, that narrative will overcome. And then that's when hopelessness sets in.
Right.
That's when why even try kind of sets in. And we, especially some of the students we work with, a lot of students we work with are already at such a young age falling into that narrative of hopelessness. Because everything is so bad all the time. I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the podcast, but like when I do my support groups with students, the question I always start with is, tell me your name and tell me one good thing that's going on in your life right now. So it's a form of gratitude, right?
Yeah.
And so it's funny talking to kids from hard places, especially. This is a hard thing. And a lot of times what ends up happening is they'll say, I woke up. Some of the ones I'm more entertained by is, I had a really good breakfast today.
I've gotten Taco Bell as an answer to that before.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But just, and when I frame it with students, I say, it could be really small, even I got my shoes on the right way today. And it kickstarts a conversation with students that starts with gratitude of like, not everything's bad all the time. And sometimes kids say nothing, I'll tell them, I'll come back to you, or hey, catch me next week with something positive. Sometimes it catches them off guard. But that little infusion of gratitude at the beginning of a support group really sets a tone. And I think makes a big difference for kids. So sorry about the little rant there, but I think this is really important for teenagers right now, especially.
Yeah, it is. And so let's talk about some of the benefits, because there are huge benefits of gratitude. You kind of touched on some of them, Chris, but when you experience gratitude and practice gratitude, there are more positive emotions that you feel. You kind of get to live in these good experiences and relish them. It improves health, helps people deal with adversity. I think this one's so interesting. There's a connection to more patience. when you have more gratitude.
Interesting.
Which, as a parent, I could use.
Yeah.
Some of it's so interesting, but it also helps build strong relationships and also connect with something larger than themselves. So that could be people, nature, God, a higher power. Gratitude has all of those benefits. And it's almost like, well, why not? Why would you not practice gratitude if these are all the positive things that you get? Because there's so much research into this and there are studies. And I'll post some links if you want to kind of look at what people have said. But it's very closely linked with a person's well-being and how they experience gratitude.
Well, and gratitude, if you've looked into any kind of psychology or, you know, just kind of how do we deal with the stresses of life? Well, one of the strategies or practices is something called distancing. So basically being able to create a little distance between where you are so you can view it. So you talk about the big picture, being able to kind of zoom out a little bit. Mm-hmm. When you're in the thick of it with your kids, it's really hard to have patience.
Yeah.
Right? Because you are literally in that moment, almost in survival. I remember having little kids and I'm coming out of that. But even with kids my age now, there is that day to day, just that it's so close. But it'll step back even for a brief moment and think, man, look at my kids. Mm-hmm. Look how incredible they are. You know, how blessed am I to have kids like this? And just that brief moment. And it helps you get back into it having seen it. Right. And that little bit of distance makes all the difference.
Well, I think we're going to talk about how we show gratitude and how we can practice gratitude. But one thing I want to ask first, especially if you are listening to this podcast, you probably have a teenager in your life. Mm-hmm. Whether you're parenting, teaching, coaching, counseling, friending, I don't know. You have a teenager in your life.
Yeah.
Especially if you're finding yourself frustrated with this teenager, ask yourself, have I shown gratitude to them lately? Because I think when you show gratitude to someone and you think about, man, here's a reason why I'm so thankful they're in my life, you're going to treat them differently. Mm-hmm. And your attitude, like kind of what you're talking about, the attitude shifts, taking a step back can make a huge difference. And if you're in the middle of something and you're feeling so frustrated, take a moment to go, I need to be grateful for them. And I also need to express that to them, because that could change your relationship with a teenager. If instead of constantly correcting or struggling, if you go tell that teenager, I'm grateful for the way you showed strength today. Mm-hmm. And that really inspired me. Now that teenager also is experiencing the benefits of gratitude as well.
So how do we do this? Because like, I feel like this sounds a little... woo, I don't know, but
woo.
Yeah. Of feel like we have to keep some big practice of gratitude in our lives, and that this would almost be disruptive compared to like our normal day to day stuff. But what are ways we can show gratitude to our teenagers?
Right. So I think the first one is, let's talk about how we can appreciate others and mm-hmm. show gratitude to others. This can look so many different ways, but it really could be easy. Mm-hmm. It could be writing a thank you note. Mm-hmm. We do that. We do this in teen life, and it's so powerful. We write thank you notes to counselors and school staff and our volunteers, and we always get great feedback because they're saying, man, I didn't feel seen, and now I feel seen.
Which is something, Carly, that like my teenage self would have bristled at.
Yeah.
Because I remember having to write thank you notes for senior gifts. And it takes.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, it took me like a year to do.
As a freshman, you're graduating from college, yeah, and you're writing your
exactly. But you know, back then, I didn't connect those things. You know, of how important that was, and even into my professional career, whenever, you know, a good thank you note would have gone a long way.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, it's a culture thing around here. Like we do that because we want people to know how thankful we are for all the things that they do for us, and it really changes how I feel about it too.
Right. Now, especially for our teenagers and for you talking to teenagers, maybe if a thank you note is too far, mm-hmm. is too much for them, send a text. Mm. And that could be something really simple of like, hey, if you think of someone throughout the day and think, man, I really enjoy them, just send them a text and be like, hey, I'm thinking about mm-hmm. you. So thankful for you. It could be really simple. Or like, hey, I saw this today and it made me laugh and I thought of you. Mm-hmm. I hope you're having a good day.
Yeah.
showing gratitude to the people in your life through a text is really simple. And as I said, specifically speak to the person of how they've encouraged you. Mm-hmm. So in person, have them tell people, hey, thank you for helping me with this. Mm-hmm. Or you didn't even realize this, but when you listened, that made a really big difference in my day. Thank you for doing that.
In so many ways, this is connecting action with what we're already sometimes thinking, you know? So there are many times a day I'll think through something, oh, that was really cool. Or I think about a person and I'll connect an event, but I don't take that extra step of making sure they know that I'm thinking about mm-hmm. that. So sometimes gratitude just has to be acted upon in order to have an impact. What we're talking about here is really modeling, you know, modeling to a teenager, this is what this looks like. So I don't think a teenager's naturally, unless they're just kind of wired a certain way, is going to jump right into this as a strategy. But them seeing you as a parent, as a helper, showing there's different ways to do this, and you as a parent, you know, obviously expressing thanks to your teenager, gratitude, but them seeing you writing those notes and them seeing you send those texts, or hey, let's jump on and make this goofy video to someone and send it off to them. Yeah. You know, really modeling gratitude is probably the way for a teenager to pick up on it.
Totally. Now, when it comes to practicing gratitude for yourself, because I also think it's important not just to be thankful to other people, but to be thankful for and show gratitude for the things that you already have mm-hmm. in your life. And so an easy way to do this is to keep a journal. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's in the notes section on your phone. Maybe that's a physical journal. In college, I've probably mentioned this on this podcast before, and I really, every time I talk about it, I'm like, I need to do that again. In college, I had a journal that every night I kept track of prayer requests, but then I always kept track of something good that happened that day mm-hmm. or something I was thankful for. And when I was in the habit of doing that, you see more good things because you're looking for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really big. If you're having a hard day, look for the good things because they're there. Mm-hmm. Even in the most awful days, there's something good that mm-hmm. happened and something good that came out of that. And so keep a journal, maybe even mentally think of those good things if mm-hmm. you're not a person who likes to write down, but keep track of kind of that idea of counting your blessings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think this has, like you said, the most power is in habit and ritualizing something like this. So starting, ending your day with gratitude, with whether it's journaling or there's great gratitude exercises you can Google and you know, mantras, things that you, if you want to talk to yourself and just different exercises you can do that are really helpful with that. Finally, praying or meditating is a big part of this too. So if you believe in God or higher power, prayers of gratitude for the blessings that you have, or being able to meditate and be able to turn around in your mind those good things in your life.
For the trend this week, Chris, are you ready?
You got that look in your eye.
For some more teen terms. It's been a while.
It has. But just enough time for us to dig up some more teen terms to really confuse our audience and me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I always love to confuse you, Chris. I always love to throw out a good term. And it's a
teen life tradition, like see what unlike happens. Any other. Yes.
So let's talk about a few of these. The first one I want to talk about is glow up.
I've heard this one.
You've heard this one.
Yes.
This one makes sense. This one's not quite as confusing if you really think about it, but a glow up is a positive personal transformation.
Huh. Like a makeover?
Yeah, kind of like a makeover. So often it's physical appearance, but it could be, I don't know, I was a jerk and now I've got a glow up and I'm a nice person. I see this one in TikTok and Reels a lot. People will post their, here's what I look like in elementary school and here's my glow up now in high school. Or here's my, when I wake up in the morning and my glow up to going out with friends at night. Hmm. So you kind of see these, like you said, it could be a makeover or it could just be as simple as like, I actually put clothes on. Glow up. Here I am.
Comb my hair this morning.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Now, the next one is skeet. Have you heard of this?
No. How do you spell that?
S-K-E-T-E.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
So this is a cultural moment, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get too much into this because I could talk about it a lot. Uh-huh. I don't know how much people have been paying attention to this Kanye West, Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian drama.
I have not.
Wow, that's shocking, Chris.
I know, exactly. I'm shocked. Yeah.
This is something that, like I said, I won't go too much into it, but Kanye West and Kim Kardashian were married.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through a divorce. I actually don't know. It might be official by this point. I don't know Maybe. That much about it. Mm-hmm. But she has been seeing and dating Pete Davidson of SNL. And
confounding.
I know. But there has been a lot of drama between Kanye and Pete. Mostly Kanye calling Pete Skeet. So he refers to him as the Skeet came and took my wife kind of thing. Now, note for our audience, Skeet is also a slang term for some sexual things. Mm-hmm. If you want to look that up, you can go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're seeing it right now, it's probably not referring to that. It mm-hmm. is probably referring to this because okay. right now this is a thing that's being said. But sometimes I've also seen it used if they're calling someone a skeet. It's probably the person who's with your ex.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so this is one that you might be seeing. It won't surprise me if this one goes away pretty quick because, like I said, it's kind of a cultural moment that's mm-hmm. happening, but it probably won't stick around. Now, what about vibe?
Vibe. We used this recently on our podcast, this idea of vibes. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, just the general mood?
Yes.
Or emotion of the moment?
Yes, exactly. So you'll see vibe a lot. Good vibes are like positive feelings. I'm feeling good vibes. I also see on social media a lot, that's not the vibe.
Mm.
So if someone says something like, hey, that's not the vibe.
Okay.
Like, hey.
That's, so like bringing the room down kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, exactly. Like, hey, the energy you're bringing in is not on level with anyone else. So that is not the vibe.
I should use that with my kids more.
Exactly.
That's not the vibe.
So when your teenager gives you attitude, come back with, hey, that's not the vibe.
Oh, man.
And I would love to be in the room to see their reaction when you throw out that term.
Yeah.
Here for it. Now, along with that one is vibin.
Uh-huh.
And so this one's similar, but mostly it means if you're vibin, like you're chilling, you're kind of low key, it could also mean you're vibing with another person. Mm. So you're talking to that boy, or they're flirting, they're starting to date, they're starting to vibe.
This strikes me as a term that, like all things, is a bit recycled. Yes. Because I could think of hippies in the 60s saying the same thing.
Yes.
You know, and so like all things, these things come back around.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, and this is another one of those that, gosh, you got to love the teen term that can mean 20 different things depending uh-huh. on how you say it in the context. And this is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean lots of different things. Now, a sports term to throw at you, Chris. Have you heard the term poster?
Or posterize.
Similar, probably.
Yeah, I think it's within the same family.
Yeah, so I've heard this. My husband rolls his eyes at me and says, I'm just not with it. For some reason, I've not heard this term until this year, and I'm hearing it on TV all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like March Madness, the NBA, I'm hearing poster a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, put him on a poster. It's basically, especially mostly in the terms of basketball, but it probably could be used other places. But when a basketball player embarrasses another player by dunking on them or blocking their shot, you would call that a poster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of times it's said, like I kind of mentioned, he put him on a poster with that dunk.
Huh.
Like, you embarrassed him, and now there's going to be a big poster of this dunk, and you're on it for being embarrassed.
I've never made that. Yeah, with the posterized, it's the same idea, like just the big block or, you know, the denial.
Yes.
You know? But I've never put those things together that it's put him on a poster with that dunk. That's, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, chuggy.
Can't say it without laughing.
You can't. This word is ridiculous. Chuggy. Now, this one means the opposite of trendy. Someone who's out of style. So if you're an adult, you're probably chuggy. Sorry. But I'll be honest. This one, now our younger kids might be using it. I don't think high schoolers are using chuggy as much anymore. Unless they're making fun of someone who says chuggy.
I'm highly entertained by this word, just so you know.
So like, oh yeah, he's choogy. I don't know. Like they could, they're probably using more in like a mocking, sarcastic,
yeah, pejorative, yeah.
Yes, term, not necessarily using this one seriously anymore. But that's a word, if you've seen that, you might be like, what does that mean? Because in my mind, choogy and not trendy is not, that's not what I would have expected that term to mean.
No.
Now, finally, Stan.
Before you go any farther, I'm super thankful that you are doing this one, because I've seen this everywhere and I feel like I've looked it up before and not fully understood it, but thank you for doing this one because I see it everywhere.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm staying on top of trends. Now, this one is really interesting because I don't think it's a new word.
Mm-mm.
And from my research, it actually comes from an Eminem song.
Huh.
That is called Stan. Mm-hmm. And it's about this obsessive fan, like highly devoted, but like super obsessive fan. And I think, don't quote me on this, I think that's where it comes from. But I've also seen people like, it's almost like a mix of like a stalker fan or a super obsessed fan. Hmm. Like they're a Stan.
Hmm.
But you're right. You're seeing it everywhere right now. Like I stand for Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. or I stan her. Like it's not just I'm a fan. It's like she is everything.
Isn't there like Stan Twitter accounts too? I think I've seen that as well, just for super obsessed people over a certain topic or.
Yes. Well, and you'll see them on Instagram too. There are full accounts that are dedicated to, I don't know, a Stan account for Tom Holland and Zendaya and their mm-hmm. relationship. And the whole account is dedicated to how much they love those two. And
that's
every,
what a Stan account is. I got you.
Yes. Okay. Every uh-huh. single picture that they can find of that relationship. So you'll see people Stan individuals, they could stan relationships, they can stan friendships. Like one of the things I've seen like around the Oscars is people would obsess over these friends that then saw each other on the red carpet and are hugging.
Hmm.
And they stan that relationship because they're really good friends. So yeah, this one's mostly in good fun, but if someone stans someone, that's what they mean, is that they're obsessed with them. Chris?
Yes.
Do you have any other teen terms?
No.
You feel, which one of these are you going to use? Are you going to utilize these?
Chewy,
in any of
for sure. like I'm thinking of ways I could use it. Well, chewy with my kids, but also the vibe thing. Just, I could think of a thousand ways I could just to throw my kids off. And it's not going to be effective by any means, but yeah.
I love it. And as a reminder, I say this every time, Google, Google, Google.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not sure what it means, Google it, use Urban Dictionary, but you're welcome for keeping you up to date on teen terms.
I like this one. This was good. I felt like I really learned something here and might use some of these ironically.
For the tip this week, Chris, I want to talk about this thing called the funnel theory.
All right.
And I'm hoping I can explain it right. But basically the idea is if you think of a funnel,
mm-hmm.
it's like big up top and then goes down very small at the bottom. And think of parenting like a funnel.
Mm-hmm.
So when our kids are little, their boundaries and their freedoms are very tight and restricted. So they're at the bottom of the funnel. And then the idea is as they get older, they move up this funnel. And so slowly we're letting out freedom. Slowly we're letting out restrictions, boundaries, rules, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and letting them have more of a say in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did...
She's really into the funnel theory.
Did. I don't know what is happening. Oh, yikes. Recently, my husband and I did a toddler class and they talked about this.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because they were talking about mostly the bottom of the funnel and how you don't want to let your kids go too far up the funnel too soon.
Hmm.
Like they don't need all those freedoms, and it's actually harmful if they have more freedom than is age appropriate. But as I was watching that, I was like, man, but that's so important too for teenagers,
mm-hmm.
of not giving more freedom than they should have, but also not staying restricted as they get older, because I think that's where you'll see some pushback. We've talked about freedom before and how important freedom is for teenagers, but you wouldn't treat a four-year-old the same as a senior in high school.
Right. And that's where we see a lot of friction happen, especially when it comes around, you know, your cell phones and even how parents might punish the student. It's like, I'm gonna take your cell phone away, or take
right.
to take away freedoms that they've already kind of earned or developmentally can handle, is where almost unnecessary friction starts happening there. And so being able to see, you know, this, once we start moving out in the funnel, that's a one-way trajectory in a lot of ways.
Right.
And so knowing also too, that if your student is longing for more independence, that developmentally is exactly what we should try to find out how to do and help them with.
Yeah. So the idea is that when they leave their home, they should have left your home with supervised responsibilities and freedom, so that when they're out of the funnel, that's not the first time that they've gone like from the very bottom of the funnel to like, I have no funnel. Mm-hmm. Now what's going to happen? So I just really thought as a parent, that helped me kind of visualize how that works and not letting him have too much, but also knowing I do have to let up some as they get older. And hopefully that's helpful for you as our listener too.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.